Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Radio. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones. Over the last few months, we've talked a lot about the need for more digital natives within the defense and security community. We talk a lot about workplace. We talk a lot about training and support in those areas as well. One thing we haven't covered, it's new and it's pretty exciting, is mixed reality. I mean, when we're talking about mixed reality, it's really an enabler right now that's available. It's not something that's science fiction at all. It's something that can be used to help with training and support and so many other applications. Now, today on Vanguard Radio, we have a very special guest joining us. His name is Duncan McSporran. He is Chief Operations and VP of Defense and Public Sector for the company Cognitive Spark. And if you're not familiar with Cognitive Spark, they are a mixed reality software company that helps to enable organizations to better connect with their workforce. They're growing rapidly, and this area of communication is something that should not be ignored. And they have a key platform that is called Remote Spark. And what this does is this allows remote workers to establish low bandwidth, secure audio video calls, and they can talk with a subject matter expert when they need to solve a complex problem. Now, why is that so important? Because when you're in the field or you're in specific situations that require not just a video, but they require both the physical and the virtual to illustrate or to train or to give the kind of support that is required, truly, it's a game changer. So without further delay, I'd like to introduce you to our guest, Mr. McSporran. Welcome to Vanguard Radio.
That's great. Thank you very much for the introduction, John, and it's great to meet you on this platform.
So I have to admit, I'm not that familiar with mixed reality. I'll take a stab at explaining what I think it is. It's kind of like where peanut butter meets chocolate, in the sense that you're merging in both the real and virtual worlds so that you can create an environment of visualizations that include both the physical and the digital, so that you can interface with that at the same time. Have I got that partially right, or close to the bean?
Yep, that's very, very close to really what we do with mixed reality. And in particular, the difference for us with mixed reality is the fact that it's in the context of the three-dimensional environment. So it's not on a two-dimensional screen. And, you know, augmented reality has been around for quite a long time. The expression and understanding of what mixed reality is going to be and is now has been sort of expressed by lots of different scientists and theorists for a long time. But that's only really come to be actually achievable over the last 6 to 7 years.
So one of the things before we jumped on the show is you had mentioned that this is something that's up and running right now. It's operational. So for those who are not implementing mixed reality as part of their support system, is it a missed opportunity?
Yes, it really is. I mean, if they're looking to address some of the key challenges that they face, either as a service operator or as a commercial operator, then yes, they really are missing the opportunity. And there's lots of reasons for that. It is operational now, and it's being used globally, worldwide. And that's not just our capability, but that's mixed reality in general. But in particular, the key aspects that they're missing the opportunity with are really focused on actually getting their workforce and their teams used to this really leap ahead technology. And that's one of the biggest things that we work with companies and organizations on is helping their workforce to understand how this isn't about replacing them. It's about helping them to do their job more effectively and to either make equipment operationally available in a much more timely fashion from an operational perspective in the armed forces. That's really critical. Or alternatively, as a service provider or as a company which sells components and equipment to other companies, it's helping your customer be satisfied with what you are doing in a way that simply can't be achieved when you have to wait for somebody to turn up to fix something.
Yeah, well, as I was going through this and reading the bio, like Cognitive Spark, you guys were established in 2016. You're a Microsoft Gold partner, and right now you're supporting areas of manufacturing, energy, aerospace, defense, marine, as well as some other select industrial sectors. And what I thought was really interesting is you could actually be giving training and support with a 3D animated hologram, as well as, I guess, a live voice to work through and understand a diagram or what something looks like. So it's a phenomenal visual. And I wanted to ask you, so where are some examples of where this is being used now? And by having this added feature, is it increasing the way that operations can move and kind of giving a faster speed to market and tempo?
Yes, yeah, and you just touched on one of the sort of really important aspects and a unique differentiator from us is for our capability is the fact we can be having this conversation right now. I can be supporting you. You know, I'm here in Fredericton, you're in Ottawa or wherever, and I can be providing you with that support to just give you the benefit of my knowledge and my experience. I'm looking at what you're looking at. You've got one of our systems on your head, and I can just sort of say, hey, John, actually, I know this doesn't seem like it's the right thing to do, but just go around the back, flick that switch to the right, push the green button three times, flick the switch back, and it will come back online. Honest. And that experiential knowledge, which is added into the deep context that you're able to achieve with digital assets, holograms or PDFs or animations that are in 3D that occupy space as if they're a real object. Those are phenomenal as well at the same time to enable the human brain to understand the job that it's just about to do. And we refer to that very much as sort of training at the point of need. And it really is something which is immensely powerful when people are hesitant perhaps about what they need to do next or feeling that they need some form of guidance and reassurance that the step that they're doing is very is the correct thing to do. And importantly, when you've got the expert who may be on the other side of the world helping with you with that task, you actually feel as if you as an individual are supported as well. And that's really, really critical. And when you bring all of that into something which is heads up and hands-free, so it's an on-head computer system by Microsoft, the HoloLens, and then it's hands-free because of the software that we've created, then you create an immense synergy. And I know that's one of the most overused terms that you can use, but it is an immense synergy because what we're doing is capitalizing on not only phenomenal technical capability, which is manifest in our software and our software and Microsoft's headset, but what you're also doing is maximizing the power of the human brain, which we still have never been able to mimic in any shape or form, and adding into that the experience of the technicians or the support crew within the parent organization, and that just creates wins all the way around. And that's what our customers reflect on I don't know the best way of saying it, but when they're asked to reflect on what the impacts are, that's what they go back to. And they say, this is how we know we're going to be moving forwards. And this is, we know what we're going to be doing in the future because we can see it happening now. And what we're doing is creating that pathway to success and pathway to really successful utilization of mixed reality, because all four of those components come together really well. And the reflect on that really is not unique to our capability in some respects, but when they see our capability, the one that we've created at Cognitive Spark, then it's seen as being something which is really significantly impactful and very valuable. And we can deliver that in a way that nobody else can because of our technology capabilities.
I could definitely see how it's an improved learning outcome, and I would imagine it gives you more confidence when you're getting that kind of support, like the example you've said about working with somebody, across the world, but it's much more real. And I think the interaction is probably going to prove to be quite significant. In terms of this technology now, I would be curious to ask you, how are some of your defense clients using it? What are some of the areas?
The in defence, there's a very wide variety. Obviously, immediately some people seize hold of the training capabilities and just sort of say, well, this is a really good way of us doing refresher training with people before they go on a course. You know, they may be doing a technical course for promotion or something along those lines. The real use cases include this being used for maintenance of ground support equipment for helicopters and also for fault finding. With aviation assets as well. And when you sort of see that being used, and the UK Royal Navy and the Royal Canadian Navy and Royal Canadian Air Force have all used that in that context, it's really, really impactful. And what you see is you see the users, their eyes sort of light up the first time they use it. And from that point on, there's really no going back for them in terms of understanding that this is going to be something which is part of their future.
So in terms of connectivity, though, and using this platform and software, are there any challenges with that, or is it pretty much plug and play?
It's the connectivity and communications that, and I say this as a former military officer, they're always going to be a challenge wherever you are if you're going to reach back to somebody. But again, a large part of what we've been able to do and to work with the Canadian forces in particular to develop has revolved around what it is and what frameworks, communications frameworks we can operate on. And with the Government of Canada, we were required to do some testing in order to achieve sole source for our capability. And that included being able to demonstrate us working on all of their communication frameworks that they would find in their operating environments. And again, that unique flexibility that we have with our system, because we own every line of code in the system, what we're able to do is to develop on every extreme. So we can have this in what's referred to as a fully on-prem context, where it has no external connectivity whatsoever and is just very localized all the way through 3G phone, LTE phone, 5G phone, local access routers, through to satellite communications. And we're the only team that works natively over SATCOM with no external additional requirements. And we are able to do that to Resolute. And when we were working to the technicians in Resolute from Ottawa, the team basically in Resolute was sort of saying, wow, we just never thought we would ever see this working this in such demanding communications environment as Resolute, 77 degrees north in the middle of a winter storm in late October. And interestingly enough, that demonstrated really in a very profound way the impact. We were doing the trial, and the team that was on the ground was using our system, and they were using the system to fix capabilities at Resolute in the middle of a 5-day no-fly window because of the weather. And wow. Really just gave us and also our customer, in this case the Government of Canada, a really clear indication of how this was going to have an impact. And they, not just in that use case that they were using for at that particular time, it was just very, very clear that the users were going, you could see the sort of cogs whirring in people's heads going, well, if we can use it for this, we can use it for, and then rattled off a whole lot of different use cases. And that extended from emergency medical healthcare right the way through to routine, mundane use cases, and also for just that technical support and helping people to learn on the job as they do things, and to do that with not just the impact of making sure that equipment became available more ready fashion, but also the savings, not just in time, but also in terms of the impact that this would have on their requirement to fly people to remote locations, which would reduce the greenhouse gas emissions burden on supporting systems in the far north. And we've got a lot of discussions going on at the moment to further that, not just with the Government of Canada, but also with commercial and defence organisations as well.
I would imagine so. That's a big issue, and especially in the north, along with communication challenges as well. When we talk about your platform, it sounds like it has so many applications, and I'm sure people have that moment once they use it where they go, oh, we can also go over here, as you've said. But one of the obvious questions would be, how secure is the technology? Could you comment on that?
Yeah, because we're unique globally, and that's part of the reason why we have such a strong relationship with Microsoft in particular, that we own every line of code. You can imagine the type of technology that we're discussing right now. It has an immense amount of software power, which creates those visualizations and then anchors those three-dimensional visualizations in the real world. So if I have something which I've placed in a particular spot, it's going to stay there, and it's not going to sort of drift around as I move my head with the headset on. It's not going to suddenly sort of reappear in a place that I don't want it to be. And at the heart of every other solution, there is a gaming engine. It's normally Unity or Unreal Engine. What we decided at a very early stage was to develop our own visualization tool, then that would be at the heart of our software. And we've done that from the ground up. And what that allows us to do is it allows us to make sure that that software isn't being influenced in any way from a security perspective, it gives us a unique value proposition. There is no such thing as perfect security, but what you can do is you can reduce the attack surfaces and you can reduce the possibility of a particular vector being used. And, you know, we had a classic example, which I think really sort of blindsided a lot of people recently, that Unity, which is one of the leading tools which is used in 3D visualization, they merged with a company that had been blacklisted by Microsoft. This wasn't an acquisition for technology. This was a full-up merger. And they merged with a company which previously had been blacklisted by Microsoft because of its creation of malware. And the two just, you know, you then get people so saying, oh, well, we're using Unity and so on. But the reality is that I think people just have to be very careful about how they approach this technology. And where we're in a pretty unique position is to answer those questions where people sort of have security at the forefront of their mind. We can certainly address a lot of their concerns in a way that no other provider can do, and I think that's created some really unique opportunities for us, and, you know, includes us being deployed for on-premise systems uniquely in various locations, in the nuclear sector in particular, where we've been able to create the understanding of the fact that we can actually do this without there being an enhanced security threat. And interesting enough, one of our contracts that we do have, we're basically shortlisted to two competing options. One was Remote Spark as an on-prem system operating completely disconnected, so no external connectivity whatsoever in a very secure location. The only other viable option was hardwired closed circuit televisions and hardwired telephones.
Wow.
And we were able to meet the security requirement of that customer with Remote Spark. So it kind of just sort of really sort of illustrates to us that we're on the right track. You know, every single line of code that we've got in our system is Canadian. It's been developed right here in Fredericton, right from the ground up, and that puts us in a pretty unique position to be able to address those concerns. And they're quite rightful concerns of, you know, how do we make sure that we're not creating a security threat by introducing this capability. And that applies across all of the various ways in which we can deploy, whether this is over SATCOM or whether it's at the other extreme where it's on-prem.
Duncan, I'd be curious to ask, is there any data available on some of the trials that you mentioned or any case studies that we could refer our listenership to if they wanted to check it out?
Yes, yeah, there is. There's some really good ones. If you go to our website, it's cognitivespark.com with a K, K-O-G-N-I-T-I-V, spark.com, and you'll find some on there. And then there's a number of other ones that are available as well through published media, where, you know, it's been, you know, people have come and looked at what we've done and written reports or written articles on what we do.
You know, I imagine mixed reality software is just evolving so quickly. I guess my final question to you is, where is this technology going to be in 5 years, 10 years? Do you have any predictions?
Well, for some people, it'll be still, they'll still consider it to be something that they're going to do in the future, and those will be the companies that are losing out. That's the sad reality of it. For those who are using it and those who are pushing it forwards, and the way in which we advocate its use, this will basically be something that is enabling a complete merge, if you will, of a lot of the data streams into something which is visualized and is very readily understandable for the human brain to comprehend, whether you're talking about situational awareness, whether that's in a military or an industrial context of everything that's going on around you, or whether it's being used in those simple, easy to comprehend use cases, such as being used as the principal way in which engineers do their routine tasks and maintenance and so on, and equipment. That's where it's going to be. But what it's going to require is it's going to need people who've got the vision and see where the alignment is and can understand what the benefits are to really sort of start pushing and start saying, right, okay, this is where we want to go. This is what we want to do. And we're very fortunate as a company because that's exactly what our clients are doing. These are the ones who've taken that first step, and they're on the train, and the train's pulling out from the station. They're the ones that are telling the train where to go and where they want to get to. And that's phenomenally exciting for us to be involved with, very forward-leaning, very technically astute organizations and companies who understand that really the key to so much is not just the power of augmented mixed reality, but it's the way that it augments the human brain and the human operator, and it augments their teams and the way in which their teams are working. And that's I think where we're going to be in 5 years' time. We've come a long way in 7 years already. In 5 years is a relatively short bound, but at the same time, it's going to be phenomenal. And we've got some exciting news that will come out later in the year, and some of the launches that we'll be doing with some of our software will, I think, really take people's breath away when they understand how we can turn the entire environment which we work in into something which is a user interface in a mixed reality context.
Certainly look forward to that. You've been listening to Vanguard Radio, and I'm your host, J. Richard Jones, and we've had the pleasure of speaking with Duncan McSporran from Cognitive Spark today. He's Chief Operations and VP of Defense and Public Sector. The title is Mixed Reality as a Force Enabler Now and in the Future. And I think that's been well explained why. This is a great Canadian story. And Duncan, I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you'll come back and keep us posted.
Great. Thank you very much, John. It's been great to be here. And great. Thank you very much for the questions. They've been very, very, very insightful. And it's great to be able to talk around them.
The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Vanguard Weekly Podcast Series, CGE Weekly Podcast Series, Vanguard Radio Podcast, and CGE Radio Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not represent those of Vanguard or any affiliated media products, their employees, or owners. Vanguard Magazine, Canadian Government Executive Magazine, and its affiliates are not responsible for and do not verify for accuracy any of the information contained in this podcast series. This podcast may not be copied or distributed without express written approval of Promotive Communications, Inc., PCI. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast without consent from PCI. PCI assumes no liability for activities in connection with this podcast or for use of this podcast with any other website, computer, or playing device.